Good morning. Today's First Testament reading is the 133rd Psalm that is on page 474 in your pew Bibles, and you may not be able to open those, so. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And the second reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
I was in Randolph, Vermont on Tuesday, all day. I had a meeting in the morning and a meeting in the afternoon. I'd had a meeting the previous Friday and the Tuesday before that, and I was a little bit tired of Randolph. I'll be there this afternoon at 2 o'clock for Kim McCurkle, who is the new pastor of the Bethany Church in Randolph, a wonderful church, and she will be installed as their new pastor. So because I was a little tired and a little weary from traveling, my snide factor was out and about checking things as I walked. I was leaving the office to go down to a restaurant to get a salad to come back for the second meeting of the day. And I walked by the Bethany Church, where I have worshiped several times and had extraordinary, wonderful senses of God's presence. And I saw something that amused me. It is the cover of your bulletin. The Bethany Church, over their two front doors, has this lovely sign, "Love Grows Here." And I think in getting ready for their big celebration on today, when Kim will be installed, I think they had painted their steps anew. And so there was this caution tape. And so as my snide factor was out and about, I snapped a photograph of it. Ha, 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 love grows here, come on in. Caution, don't really walk over these steps. But as God often does, especially when I'm being a little cranky or a little snide, I thought more about that. I thought more about the fact that when you enter into a place where love is present, you need to do so with caution, because you will be changed. Love changes us. It doesn't ever leave us alone. Think about when you were a teenager, or if you are a teenager right now. Was there ever someone that you thought you loved and it was unrequited? Think about in your own adult life. Are there things that you've been drawn to where you haven't been welcomed into? Did that change you? Holy moly, I guess it does. Love changes us for ill or for good, usually for good, but sometimes it just shakes us up. And in the middle of being shooken up, we can wonder if it is for good. Think about if you have children or young people in your life that you care about, that you are committed to. I've never been so changed as by my son. You should see the checks I write every month. And have been for years. And especially when he was in a high school that brought him great joy and gave him an extraordinary opportunity. I wrote the largest monthly checks of my life without a twinge. Love changed me. Love made me want for him more than anything else that I could have bought with that money. Love enabled me to see that my most important priorities were for him to be developed. I know that you all have been in similar positions, whether you're parents or not, where you found yourself so hopeful for an experience or an event or an opportunity for a child that you did things you would not have otherwise done. I think of Sandy Soho taking kids to Ethiopia, members of our church as well as members of her family who are part of our church. And I'm sure it wasn't always easy and it wasn't always simple, but she did it because she knew that they would grow and it was worth it. Think about how much sleep you lose when you have toddlers and when you have 20-year-olds. Think about cars that you loved and you give up willingly to keep someone safe. It isn't just our children, but it is also our parents. I was with my in-laws yesterday just for a brief time, and about the second thing I said after I walked in the door was, what can I do to make things easier? Because I love them, and love has changed me. I recently shared with you that I was doing a funeral for someone who had hurt someone else, and that I was afraid about that, that I was overwhelmed by the thought of presenting a sense of this person's life. And someone said to me afterwards, I've had a bad opinion about that person, and your willingness to be present with God's love made me rethink this situation. So that's God's love pulling us in and together changing us as we think about the world. Think about the refugee crisis. Now, I have talked before about the fact that we may have different politics and different opinions about this, but you cannot be a member of God's house and be unaware of the stories of God's people who are refugees. Over and over and over again, God calls people out to something better and cares for them on the way and makes a new homeland. Love changes us. When we are a part of a community whose stories of our ancestors are of people who have been refugees, driven out and called forward by God's hands, we can't think about the refugee situation without being drawn to it and changed by it in some way. When you enter a church where love is at work, you will not be the same as you were before. You will not be able to think about things the same. You will not be able to think about yourself the same. When I was in seminary, my first 2 years were at a very conservative seminary where a number of the students did not believe that women should be ordained. I took a class on women in ministry and read all kinds of articles. And we all know this was 100 years ago because I'm very old. One of the articles that I read was about United Methodist churches where the pastors are appointed by the district superintendent. So in a United Church of Christ, you get to choose your pastor. In a United Methodist church, somebody just shows up, usually in July. And it happens every 4 or 5 years. In fact, when July happens to my best friend, who is a United Methodist person, I say it's like in volleyball where everyone yells, rotate, because the whole bunch of churches change around. The article said, and I love the negative speech in this, thinking about having a woman pastor is much worse than actually having one. Which means to say that love changed that person's heart. And not a romantic red hearts and roses kind of love, but the love that lives in your mind and in your heart and in your soul and in your strength. God's love is a love that changes us. It opens our eyes and it makes us care for people we didn't imagine that we could care for. It makes us listen to stories that we hadn't imagined we would ever hear. And in that love, we find a community and a place where even the parts of ourselves that we have a hard time accepting find a place to rest and be changed. We are looking at our confession of faith, the Old South Church Covenant, over the next few weeks. Last week we looked at, we do now in the presence of God and with his strength solemnly agree to give our lives to the Lord. And the verse that we're looking at this week is to attend and join in the worship of this church. And so I am thrilled that we have new members joining today. I am also thrilled that all of you come and attend this church. Because when we walk through the doors of a church, whether it says love grows here or not, love will grow in your heart. And not just a sentimental feeling of warmth, but sometimes a challenge to stretch yourself beyond where you imagine you will be comfortable. To understand that you belong to people who may not look like you, or talk like you, or live like you, or have aesthetics that you have. But because of the love of Christ, who has made us family worldwide, we learn to love each other. Today, let us celebrate World Communion Sunday by celebrating that our hearts, through Christ's love, have become big enough to love the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response, actually will come after our new members will join. So I'm very excited to invite them to come forward. I invite to come forward those who wish to affirm their baptism by uniting with us in this household of faith. Reaffirming their baptism means that they've already been baptized, which means that they've come from previous communities of faith, and we are so grateful to know that we belong to all of that. Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. Chris, Sharon, Patrick, and Kathy have found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ in various faith communities. Through prayer and study, they have been led now by the Holy Spirit to affirm their baptism and to claim in our presence their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of Christ's church. They come here for service to Jesus Christ using the unique gifts of the Holy Spirit which has bestowed on them, and they come to be open to love, to be changed, to be nurtured, and to care for others. So you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are equally citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostle and the prophets, Jesus Christ alone being the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure of the church, Old South and the worldwide church, is joined together and grows into a holy temple. In Christ, you are built into that structure to be a dwelling place for God's Spirit. And so I ask you to affirm the faith that you share today. Do you profess Jesus, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, as the center of your faith? Do you believe in God, who called into being all worlds, who created human beings in God's own image, and who seeks to be in a relationship of love with humanity? Do you seek to open yourselves to the working of the Holy Spirit, who creates and renews the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races? And will you allow yourselves to be changed, shaped, and transformed by this community, living into your called identity as a beloved child of God?
We will accept the cost and joy of discipleship, acting as God's servants in service of others, proclaiming the gospel to all the world, resisting the powers of evil, and sharing Christ's baptism and eating at his table.
And do you promise to make your relationship with God and Christ, upheld by the Holy Spirit, a priority? Will you worship, study, pray, and share fellowship with God's people as best you are able?
With God's help, I will offer my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength to a full relationship with God the divine.
By your baptism, you were made one with us in the body of Christ, the church. And today we rejoice in the pilgrimage of faith which has brought you to this time and place. We give thanks for every community of faith that has been your spiritual home, and we celebrate your presence in this household of faith. Welcome.
Thank you.
This day marks your public affirmation to join your spiritual journey with the members and friends of Old South Church. As fellow members and seekers, this community agrees to care for you, and you are called to care for them. So, congregation, let us join together in prayer for our new members, and may this be the first of many prayers prayed on one another's behalf. Let us pray. O Christ, bless these your servants who have opened their lives and hearts to you. By the power of your cross, protect them from evil. In the passion of your love, save them from half-heartedness. In the depth of your mercy, pick them up when they fall. Be close to them when they face difficulty and distress, and dance in their lives with your light and delight. Bind us together as a faith community, concerned for the whole of your creation and committed to one another. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Now these are the O'Neills. This is Kathy, Patrick, Sharon, and Chris. I know many of you know them, and if you know them, they are a shy people, which is what they said to me. So we'll let them slip back to their seats while we all go, yay!